welcome back for another episode of What in the World, the podcast where we talk about all kinds of weird stuff. My name is Oyama Natara. We've got Lisa Frith and Dave Burke.
Hello!
And what are we talking about today, Dave?
Why you gotta throw it on me like that?
I don't know. Okay, what are we talking about today, Lisa?
You do that.
I think we're talking about going to some higher realms and try and get some clarity on what we got going on here on our pretty little blue planet.
Well, it's easier when you ask me questions.
Okay. So in our last episode, we spoke about the alien nature of the virus, the pandemic that we're looking at, and possibly Andromedan in nature, possibly. And I guess, can you elaborate more on the purpose? Is it just here to knock us around a bit, or what are we looking for growth opportunities? Is our alchemy?
there's always multiple levels of information to any event, right? So there is certainly an amount of wake up to this. There's also sort of an amount of, it is the overture in the opera that we're moving into. It's the herald of things to come. It's the waybringer. And didn't Venus just shift from evening star to morning star? Anyway, it's the waybringer, and it's clearing a path for the change that needs to happen. Now, human beings don't like change, and we have to be forced backed into a corner in order to change. You know, pain is the touchstone of change and growth, I think is the quote. But in order to affect the paradigm shift that I've been talking about, that we're, you know, barreling into or through, this is the first wave of discomfort. You know, the second wave is the civil unrest. The third wave is going to be food riots, in case people haven't seen that yet. And then we run into some weather, the likes of that we haven't seen. And somewhere in there, and apparently there's space dust.
Comet dust.
So that's one level looking at COVID-19. You know, you can also look at this as an angelic form of assistance. And as I always tell my students who want to do angel work, or take Kabbalah with me or anything like that, remember that the angels have a different value system than we do. They are titanic beings. And so when they offer you assistance, you may not have wanted it in that form. They're titanic beings. They don't have the concerns that we have. And so, you know, I tell people, when you're calling on an archangel for help, be really clear that that is what you want. You know, people who are writers who just willy-nilly call on, like, Archangel Gabriel, like, they don't realize that he's the angel of death. You know? Yeah, Archangel Michael is a protector, but wow, he's still a titanic being. He does not share your value system. And so, yeah, this is angelic assistance. You know, and don't assume that, you know, alien civilizations share your value system. Don't assume that anyone who isn't human shares your value system. And even then, you know, like, you may not want to assume that any human shares your value system either. It's hilarious.
Especially these days.
Right?
Never more than...
But, I mean, you know, politically, you know, countries get into trouble for trying to impose their value system on other countries, you know, and then these days, yeah, it's really loud that it's on an individual level that nobody seems to share the same value system. Anyway, going back to strange tangent, pulling it back around. So that's on another level. Yeah, I mean, we can look at the fear-based level stuff, but I think everybody can do that just fine on their own, and you don't need my help with it. I do not, let me just start by saying, I do not think that this thing was humanly engineered, okay? I don't buy into that particular story that's going around. It doesn't work for me. It doesn't feel true to me. It doesn't feel like this is something that escaped, you know, from a lab somewhere. Is it being used for a lot of political purposes? Oh, hell yeah. Everything gets used for political purposes these days. I mean, it may have always been that way, but it's so loud these days. So yeah, there's all that fear-based stuff, you know, which I tried my best not to sit in because it makes me powerless and I don't like that space. You know, if I can be empowered with this and come at it from a higher spiritual level, feel a lot better about it. But yeah, here we have these incredibly small alien energies that are coming through our bodies as well as our space. And they're waybringers. They are making space for larger alien energies to come through. I wouldn't say they're a scouting party. It's much more of a waybringer thing. And I keep using that term, and I don't know why it's so loud with this, but it is. I'm just checking in with the planet herself because she may have more accessible information for me. You know how, so the image I'm getting, as interesting as this is, you know how like beetles and stuff will, and worms will like go through the earth and transmute stuff into other stuff?
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's kind of what Gaia is showing me that these things are doing with us. They are actually changing our makeup, and we're not going to be able to immunize against them because we are at some point actually going to need them.
Wow.
In the meantime, you know, we may lose a percentage of our population. Some of us have been saying that the planet's a little overcrowded. You know, I mean, you look at the cycles of history, and periodically, you know, the Earth barfs out some of us. You know, when we get too crowded, there's a culling that happens. Most of the time, it's not overtly human, but, you know, a culling happens, you know, and this is sort of the mirror effect of 1918, the Spanish flu. Or, you know, if you want to go back further, the Black Plague. but if you look at the percentages of the population that were transmuted into something else at that time, we're going to see similar stuff here. But there's something about the way that the energy works with us that is actually going to start to shift us genetically. And at some point we will need that energy as opposed to be fighting that energy.
Very interesting.
That's what I'm seeing. So
thank you.
Yeah. I mean, there, you know, there's a lot of different aspects to this, but, you know, ultimately that's kind of the stuff that comes up when I look at it. There's a transformational process for us. which may help us get through things like space dust, you know, although that sounds like it's coming before, you know, this virus will have worked its magic. But there are going to be other challenges that the people on this planet face, where they will need to have a different system and a different level of adaptability. And that's part of what the virus is bringing us. Just not to say that people should go out and expose themselves to the virus, because nobody really wants to drown in their own bodily fluids. just to be clear, please wear a mask, wash your hands, distance yourself, all of these things.
You know, trying to wait until science gets a toehold here.
Well, and you know, I mean, trust in Allah, but tie up your camel. Don't be stupid, you know. Besides, face masks are fun, and you can get really pretty ones now. But yeah, I don't think that this is the only virus we're going to have, and I think I said that last time. But you know, we're moving into even more interesting times. You know, but with that, I think we have the opportunity, once we can get used to everything being loud, or once we can dull the din of all of the loudness, which will take a little while, but we'll start to be able to see that we're having a lot of interesting discoveries, whether it's, you know, archaeological contact, even like, you know, less esoteric, less interesting, you know, differently interesting stuff, you know. We're gonna be more innovative. We're gonna have to be more innovative. And so we're gonna have a lot of discoveries on a lot of different levels. So, you know, and the colonizing forces that are still here consciously on the planet, as opposed to just sort of, you know, genetic material having been bred through, are at some point going to decide that they have to actually protect their interests, and they may actually step forward. That'll be a fascinating thing.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you know, yes, please. I mean, you know, if the Martians step forward, I'm not really thrilled. They're already kind of in plain sight as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, some of the other energies that, you know, have super not been overtly loud, may step forward and start really offering us guidance on a level that is going to be more useful than the just kind of hanging out to wait to see what happens that they've been doing. Who knows? I mean, you know, because this virus is a waybringer, it may, I mean, I feel like it's sending out beacons and stuff. So we may get more visitations, more new visitations. Could be fun. Could be interesting. They're certainly not going to play by the same rules. We'll see what that looks like. You know, and anytime I look to the future, of course, you know, there's always, you know, like so many branches that go off of where you are. You know, I can talk about the past fairly easily because it brought us to here. But from this point forward, anything that happens has so many variables in it that I can only talk about like opportunities for paths. So. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Pensive silence.
Well, I'm wondering, I mean, we're talking about the origins of COVID-19 being engineered. And so I kind of immediately go to, but why? And so it gets me to wondering about the intent behind it. And
I would say I don't think that it's engineered. Like running around, you know, like muttering about that this is an engineered thing. And I don't think it was. I don't think that it was really, I don't think it was engineered. I don't think that it was released purposefully or not purposefully. You know, like I don't think it escaped or whatever.
Although the monkeys have it now, so.
The monkeys might have had it before. Who the fuck knows? You know, nobody was testing them for it before because they didn't know what it looked like.
Well, no, there were monkeys in India.
Oh, that escaped.
Yeah,
that was hysterical.
Yeah, they apparently attacked a guy who was carrying vials of the virus or something like that, and they took the vials. So, yeah.
Yeah, more reality is weirder than fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least mirrors the hell out of fiction sometimes. I mean, it's not surprising to me that occasionally critters go, "You are not smart enough to have this thing. Give that to me." Yeah, I absolutely don't think that this was engineered, at least not on this planet, by humans, you know?
Well, all up until Caesar actually appears on a horse and starts throwing things at people, yeah. So, that's a Planet of the Apes reference for anyone who didn't get that. So, yeah. I'm on a science fiction kick apparently today.
That so. Our listenership has some, like, you know, literacy, so.
So your answer actually makes me feel better because I was thinking that you were one of the conspiracy people on that. So
No, I absolutely don't think.
Yeah. But it's also being I'm not gonna get political. But unlike some people, it's being used as a useful tool to kind of push certain agendas.
Sure.
So, you know, I'm wondering who is actually sitting back and watching and who is kind of goosing the egg a little bit.
Interesting question. I think that anybody who's got some skin in the game right now is doing a combination of I'm going to kick back and see what happens and using it for potential political gain. I mean, the governments that look cleanest on this, like they're manipulating the situation the least, are some of the Northern European countries, like Germany. Like Germany's energy on this looks really clean.
Right.
England, not so much. France, not so much. I don't even know what to say about Italy, but I haven't known what to say about Italy for years. They're so confusing energetically, like as a government, you know. And that may just be, you know, by virtue of the fact that they've got like 10 different parties fighting it out. I don't know. But I'm not sure anything purposeful internationally is going to come out of there anytime soon. China is absolutely not clean on this energetically. The U.S. is not clean on this energetically. Brazil is not clean on this energetically.
What about Sweden, who didn't do the lockdown, et cetera, and now is experiencing an increase?
Sweden.
Good intentions?
There was, part of it was arrogance. And part of it was they were actually using their population as an experiment, you know, as a test case, which is way not cool. I don't see them trying to manipulate the situation for international manipulation, you know? International gain, but internally there's some interesting stuff going on. I just don't see it going outward, whereas for a lot of the countries who don't have clean energy about this, I absolutely see it getting some on other people, you know?
Sure.
You know, and different parts of our, or different, I don't know, schisms of the government in the United States are using it at cross purposes with the other parts. So, you know, but there are very few aspects of the United States government on any level, whether it's even the local level, where I'm not seeing some level of trying to use it for spin or manipulation. But I mean, honestly, same with China. It's just everything in China is top down. So, India has some really weird energy around it. South Korea actually looks fairly clean. That's interesting. But I also have to say, just in case anybody's wondering, you know, I have wanted to move to Maui for years. And based on the energy I'm seeing coming off of the islands right now, Hawaii is not going to be safe anytime soon. Which makes me really sad.
Yeah. That does make me sad. I thought they'd gotten ahead of it and locked it down pretty well.
Oh, they were terrible at it. My best friend lives on Maui, and I keep getting missives from her about how poorly they're handling it at the local level. I don't know what the news is saying about how they're doing it, but no.
Interesting. I've just been reading the basic articles where people who aren't quarantining are getting thrown in jail, and you know that
hasn't been on Maui. Maybe they're doing that like in Honolulu or someplace, but it's not happening on Maui. Maui is going to get hit by the worst spike.
I'm so worried about a second, the next spike, I think, more than...
We're not done with the first wave, so... Yeah. You know, and I don't know if you saw the figures for today, because I keep following the figures, and obviously looking at a 7-day average of the figures is going to give you a better idea of what the trends are going to be, but I was looking at the numbers from today specifically, and the death rate for today in Los Angeles County was twice what the average has been last week. Now, it may just be an anomaly. I got to look at, you know, what happens over the next few days, average that out. But the trends that I'm looking at off of the data set that's on the county's website are not, they don't look good.
And yet we're opening everything up.
If you look at like, you know, how, you know, time-wise, that's from stuff like 4 to 6 weeks ago, which is all of the pre-Memorial Day openings. So we haven't even hit, you know, I don't even want to know what the spike from this is going to look like from the unrest.
It's crazy. In each other's face yelling. Nobody's, half the people aren't wearing masks.
Well, and the cops aren't even wearing masks for the most part.
Right? That seems so crazy to me. So crazy. But I mean, there's such a huge group of the population that doesn't feel it's real, or that masks, what is it, sneezing through a chain link fence.
Nothing's perfect, but I'd like something better than nothing, you know? I don't know.
Me too.
When I hear from people who are arguing against this thing being as bad, most of those people don't have anybody they know that got really, really sick or possibly died. That's going to change. That is absolutely going to change. And I think that is going to change public perception.
Yeah.
You know, you can't say it's a government conspiracy when, you know, your mother just keeled over dead from it, or like, you know, when your baby sister has like one of those weird inflammation diseases, or, you know, your husband falls over from a stroke, even though he's 40. Sorry, I don't mean to be cranky about this.
No, I agree 100%. It hadn't hit close to home for a lot of people.
And I think the more people it hits home, hits close to home for, the, you know, more public perception is going to change about it. You know, and that by then we will be in like the actual peak of the first wave, and we'll see how that goes. You know, everybody's talking about the second wave already, and I'm like, we have not hit the peak of the first wave. I don't care what people say. This is a small dip that's going to go back up. Like all of the trends in LA are already going back up.
Interesting.
You know, and LA has been super cautious compared to a lot of the country.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But I mean, LA. Go ahead.
No, I've just seen stable numbers at what I'm privy to. I did not Yeah. I did not know that.
I look at the deck that the mayor goes off of for LA. And that actually does not be showing, it's not showing a good trend. So anyway, aliens.
Yes.
We've got about 5 more minutes in this broadcast, in this particular episode. What are some things you really want to ask about, whether they have to do with this or not? I realize that this is somewhat all-encompassing for people these days, but
yeah.
Okay, I got something.
Okay.
Okay, so let's go out to our local planetoid, good old Pluto. An interesting thing is happening out there.
Okay.
And I'm actually interested to see what you think about this. So Pluto approached the sun at its closest point about 1989, 1990, somewhere around there. And it has been steadily kind of receding back into its orbit. With the change in position, the atmosphere thickened up because of its approach toward the sun. And so now that it's going away, it is losing its atmosphere again. However, for whatever reason, the rate they expected that Pluto to be losing its atmosphere should have been about 1% per year or something like that. It's actually, they're estimating it at 20%.
What?
Yeah. And so people are like, and yeah, and there's no good explanation for it yet from the astronomers and from the science-y people that work on this sort of thing and know a whole lot more than I do. But yeah, apparently this is kind of a sticking point right now, and it's kind of a mystery. So I'm interested in theory why, and you know, energetically, what does this mean, if anything at all?
Okay, so the first thing that comes up is, all right, so if the Earth is a version of our higher self, the next level you go up to is that soul, the sun of our solar system is the next level up of our higher self. So it's essentially a 2 level up of our heart chakra, or heart center. And there's absolutely some stuff going on sun-wise with some of the energy shifting, just as there's energy shifting going on with the planet and within ourselves. And the visual that I'm getting is that the sun is actually draining the pulling the atmosphere from Pluto. And the allegory of that is that the veil is being ripped away, the illusion is being dissolved, we are becoming one with the subconscious and the unconscious to become integrated beings. If you go with like the astrology of Pluto. And I mean, it speaks to the shift in consciousness that's happening and needs to happen on this planet. You know, things that were sublimated within our personalities are coming up to the surface so that we can deal with them. You know, the veil is being ripped away. Astronomically, there's some kind of a solar wind thing going on that they're not picking up on, is what it looks like to me. Because the sun's going through a shift, you know, like space weather, who I follow, they keep being surprised by like new phenomena from the sun, like weird things are happening, like, oh, we didn't expect that, and oh, that shouldn't be happening. And so, I mean, there's definitely energy shifting on that star, that people are not predicting appropriately. And so it really seems to me like there's an energetic wind or solar wind off of the back end, the far end of what we're picking up on, whether it's below or above or I don't know what, but it seems to be drawing more from Pluto than they would have anticipated. You know, any planetary phenomena that happen in the next 20 years are probably going to be somewhat unexpected if we keep operating off of old models. You know, the astronomers are going to have to come up with some new shit, new theories, and new ways to calculate things, and not to expect that past trends will continue. The solar system is changing.
What?
But and I wanted on that to stay note,
the same.
And on that note, we are over time. Join us next time for more weirdness. This has been Ayama Natara, Lisa Frith, Dave Burke.
Hello.
Thanks very much for joining us for What in the World?